Wonderful. Well, my name is Julia, and I'm the Programming and Education Lead here. And I'm excited to welcome Moses Mwaka and Eliud Paiuela, who will be speaking with us today about global partnership. But one thing that we'd like to share with first is this idea of the accompaniment model that the ELCA has used across its companion programs. There's 65 different synods within the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and they all have companion relationships around the world. So we will be hearing from Moses and Eliud about their experience of companionship with the Eastern Washington, Idaho Synod and the Ulanga Kilombero Diocese in Tanzania. So to frame it all, we have this idea of kusindilikiza in Swahili, which in some ways does mean accompaniment, but there is this also other lens of really moving through life together. Oftentimes, you will say when you're with people, tuko pamoja, we are together. And it's a way of moving through life together. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear from Moses and Eliud several times throughout this session about what that looks like, how life is really shaped and formed in this walking together side by side, both through life's joys and through life's hardships. And so without further ado, I will let you all take it away.
Thank you. Yes, my friend.
Well.
Good evening. So, we want first to say some stories as how we do understand the whole question of companionship in our context. We say in our philosophy that I am because we are. I am because we are. And taking an example of a story during a funerals, for example, when you are having a funeral in our society, it's like an obligation that we all have to do it together. And for example, in times when someone is not attending somebody's funeral, then they'll just remember that. And when the time comes for you to have a funeral, then also those friends will just remind you, I'm not attending your friend's funerals. And that's if it's actually punishable. So they may even not attend your funeral. They may sometimes give some conditions. They will, yes, we are ready, but we must at least give you some penalties so that to remind you that we need to be together. But again, in the funerals, we all, whatever religion you are, whatever denomination you are, we are normally doing it together. It's like we cannot afford our alone. Always we need to be together. We need to work together. So our whole African life is built in the whole question of we can just do it together. It's like, you know, in a way it's like an obligation, but it's like a sort of culture that brings people together, that we can only afford, we can only manage, we can only succeed if we can do it together. That's how actually we structure ourselves when we define what it means by accompaniment, companionship or partnership. It doesn't mean that somebody must be giving something to somebody. That's another thing, but the whole spirit of togetherness, or helping each other, being together in terms of problems, in times of blessings. So every time we are together, ups we are together, out and downs we are together, everywhere you go we are together. That spirit of togetherness is which defines this idea of companionship in our context. Eliud, if we have anything to add?
Maybe another example. When I was get married with my wife, The wedding ceremony was being in Ifakara, a bit town, a little bit town. But as I said yesterday, I'm from interior village there. So after the wedding ceremony, which done in the Ifakara town, my mom and my parents and relatives really told me that you need to go home so as to show your friends how the issue is. So when I went there, really they prepared a very, very good celebration rather than we do at town there. You can imagine they just collect almost 42 chickens for a single ceremony. So it was something good. And this, what is the companionship means, we as Africans and Tanzanians, we need to be together and to share different issues, even though in time of difficulties or time of happiness. So in each situation, really, we need to be together. And if you are not really in part in a certain issues with your community, it means that you are being really separated. I remember another story when I was a very kid, being at school in this, what we called middle school. Mm-hmm. A certain man was a bit rich. And once a funeral happened, he just go there and attend, but not sharing with others to take a certain food, which we are prepared together. So one day, his son was died. And again, people gathered at his home, and really they buried the baby. And then he prepared the food, but people rejected. They said that, okay, do you think that we want to eat your food because you are rich, you have prepared in a good manner? We don't like so. We need cooperation. So as long as you did not participate with us eating together, so let us leave you as you are. So he prepared a very good food. We planned one. So once we come back from school, we just invited there just to eat. So we enjoyed there simply because he was not really engaging with that certain activities which happened within the community. So this is the meaning of companionship, being together.
And I can say it's a huge punishment down there.
Yeah.
If we just prepare some food and I invited some colleagues to come and take that food and they just don't show up, especially they don't participate in eating your stuff, that's a huge punishment down there. So it's like the other time you really to say, I'm very, very sorry. Mm. That brings together now the whole question of we need this companionship. We need to be together in all aspects of our lives, whether you are in success, you have succeeded that much, or whichever situation you are, we need each other, we need to help each other. Everyone is important, and so we need everyone started so they can move together as a society. And this gives the definition of our partnership between the ELCT, Ulanga Kilombero Diocese, and our friends here in East Washington and Idaho Synod. So now please welcome to see some of the areas that we thought we can show up through our PowerPoint, please. Yesterday, you remember we talked about Tanzania, it's just there, and I think you can just remember it's written United Republic of Tanzania.
Yeah,
yeah. And remember I said the union of two countries,
mm-hmm.
Tanganyika, which got independent in 1961, and our first president was Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere. And again, in Zanzibar, they overthrew the Arab rule through Abeid Amani Karume, who became the first president of Zanzibar. And in the same year, in 26th of April 1964, the two countries made a union, and they called themselves United Republic of Tanzania. So it's a union between two countries, Tanganyika and Zanzibar. So the Lutheran Church was established so many years ago, is 100 years ago. And as I said yesterday, we are now is the church with the most Lutherans in the world. formerly 20 dioceses, now we have 26. I think the other one will be just born very soon. They are preparing for another diocese around Kigoma in the west. And we are partners with our friends here in East Washington and the Idaho Synod. As the other diocese too had some partnership. Our sister synod is here too. About 20 years ago, the bishops here, you can see there, they had some sort of agreement, and that makes it, the way I'm the first statement I made, that every synod here had a sister diocese in Tanzania. That was 25 years ago. And our main goal is actually, as you can read there, just to hold on to each other, pray to each other, share our lives in Christ and exchange ideas. And that's why it has nothing to do mostly with material things, but mostly with the sharing, whichever we're given. And of course, we grow now as brothers and sisters. That's what the map looks like, Tanzania, and those are regions, Dodoma, and there we have Ifakara. That's the headquarter of our diocese, Ulanga Kilombero Diocese, which it has a companionship with our East Washington and Idaho Synod. That's okay. It's here. This is here. Yeah, and this is where I live and where now Ed lives now. Mm-hmm. Yes. Remember yesterday we said also Ifakara is the headquarter of one of the district, it's Kilombero district, that one of districts in the Morogoro region. Morogoro region is like a state here, but the capital city of one of the district is called Ifakara. And it's where our diocese is headed there. And it's 450 kilometers from Dar es Salaam, where we normally land. When you fly by an airplane, you go and land Dar es Salaam. And then from Dar es Salaam to Ifakara, it takes 450 kilometers, a drive of maybe 9 to 10 hours.
Probably like 300 miles to put that in.
Yeah, sort of. It's only because some of the roads are unpaved, mm-hmm. so to take your way down there is quite difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, as we can see, one third of the road is unpaved. Mm-hmm. They're doing it now, maybe after some years, everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. It will take some few hours from Dar es Salaam. Sure. That is our cathedral. In Ifakara, we normally have these cathedrals. It's not like an old Lutheran church, you do have cathedrals, but the structure of the church there, we do have a church whereby a bishop to go for worship, and we call it cathedral. And there is a special seat, a special chair where he normally sits or she sits, and we call it cathedral. And that's where our cathedral is. Actually, every diocese in Tanzania do have. And that's our bishop. We had one whose name was Mambungu. He was here for some years ago. This is our new bishop, his wife, and they have their daughter, Rehema. Now, remember yesterday, we couldn't go through everything, but we have two mission units. That is Tumaini Lutheran Seminary. Remember, seminary in Tanzania normally means a secondary school, mm-hmm. and a Bible school too, which differs from this, from the meaning of seminary here. Mm-hmm. And there we have, in Lutheran Seminary, we have two units, a Bible school and a secondary school.
Maybe a bit historical to Tumaini Lutheran Seminary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was started around the 1960s, mm-hmm. and it was, before calling a seminary, it was just called
a youth camp.
Yeah, youth. And sometimes they were called as a conference and a training center. Mm-hmm. And the aim was to gather the students who were studies in different secondary schools. Once they come to the holidays, so they were gathered there so as to be taught the word of God. Mm-hmm. And later on, they become to be the Tumaini Lutheran Conference and the training, whereby many really trainings done there, especially this based on faith. and the place where really I used it to do. I went there in 1987. I was a youth secretary in my congregation or parish, so I went there to be taught a certain skills of leadership. And then afterwards, I went again in the same place for 6 years, where now my career really was built there. From there, I went in another college. So to mine, to me, is a very great deal. I know it in the place, yes.
Can you share a couple of the skills that you learned as a youth secretary when you were at this training camp? What were some of the teachings and trainings about?
Well, as I said, I was already a youth secretary in my parish.
And what does that really mean?
Secretary?
Yeah, like being a youth secretary. What kind of things would you do?
It means among the leaders, we have a chairperson and then a secretary. Secretary is someone who is very executive, doing daily duties with based on the youth.
And you would organize activities.
Yes, I was organizing activities. We have different kind of activities there. Mm-hmm. We have choirs, we have sports and games. We have a small chambers, which really, I think we have a half acre, which really we planted sugar cane. So we did a very different activities there. So I was one of the organizers with the other leaders. So when I went there, I get a new skills of how to develop that kind of career for almost 1 month. And then I come back to work as a secretary. And again, I went there for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now, in these 6 months, it was like, we called it was like a foundation skills of elementary theology. Mm-hmm. So I was there taught how to conduct service in Sunday services, how to teach Sunday schools for kids, and again, how to preach, and doing several issues whereby really it made a certain foundation to join in a certain college, I told yesterday. So to mine, it's the place where mold me how to do and how I am now. So it is through mine.
Yeah. My wife also was there anyway.
Yeah.
And this, yes, you met her, I think, there.
Yes.
So, as I said, we do have a secondary school down there in Tumaini Lutheran Seminary, and it takes 4 years. It's an ordinary level secondary school. It's like junior high school here. I don't know whether it relates 100%, but at least we can relate to the two. So it's like... Yeah. You can see from there, I'm not so familiar with your schooling system here, but it's from Form 1 to Form 4, and then they take, and from there they can go for high schools, that's Form 5 and Form 6 down there. High school for us is advanced schools, advanced learning schools. So we have a Bible school training evangelists. Formerly it was a Bible camp, and I attended there, and then it became a Bible school, just to train evangelists who are leaders of the small congregations. A unit, the primary collection of Christians, when we form a group, the first group of Christians, we call them congregations, and they are led by evangelists. Before, several congregations could form a parish, which is led by a pastor. And so we train them in Tumaini. And it was established in those years as a camp, as my friend has said, and later it was developed into a Bible school. And of course, it is a great word in Kiswahili. It means hope. To my end, means hope. And so, as my friend said here, to him is a big deal there because he did all his studies down there. And East Washington, this time, of course, now it has been for some times now, they do offer for girls. 10 girls are given a sponsorship, and it helped a lot. Those girls, especially from poor families, very poor families, those maybe who are those who are maybe orphans, but they are showing commitment in their studies. So there are some criteria to get them. It's not just a girl, but at least those who are really, whom their parents are not capable to pay their school fees, and they show really to be committed to their studies, and they come from some families where we know without doubt they won't make it with their studies.
Is that boarding school?
Yeah, you are right. It is. It is a boarding school. But it's a co-school. Okay. Both girls and boys do stay in the school.
And one thing that I just might add here is, as you think about partnership and presence, one of the really unique things about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania is how it's growing so quickly. And a big part of that is this structure of evangelists. And so evangelists will get trained and experience theological education and function in a lot of ways as a pastor leading these small congregations that are just starting to grow. So the evangelist is very close to the community, building relationships, focusing on presence, really deepening relationships so that the church will grow, and also using the church as a vehicle for a lot of different social services, from health to education to microfinancing. The church is really involved in all of those aspects within the Church of Tanzania.
Yeah, you are just very, very right. That's true.
And you can kind of also think of it like sometimes a pastor will have the main preaching point. So Moses and Eliud talked about the cathedral, Kanisa Kuu. That will have maybe 5 or 6.
Even 10.
Or 10 congregations. Or even 12 preaching points associated with it, which means the pastors at that main preaching point will be visiting, or the main congregation will visit those preaching points and do communion. But the evangelists in the meantime will be very much the leaders of those small congregations.
You're just very light. So being a pastor of a parish, it means you also you have to visit those small congregations. They will need your service. Some of the services are not offered by evangelists. So it's like we have sort of a division of labor. Evangelists are just, they have defined roles, and pastors too. So for example, officiating Holy Communion and baptism, and those sort of sacraments are being done by pastors, and evangelists are really busy sharing the word of God to other friends, brothers, sisters, those who are non-believers, those who don't believe maybe in Christ. They are being visited mostly by evangelists. Yeah. These are the girls, we said, 10 of them. They are being sponsored. You can see they are very happy. And without your support here, they would not have such a chance to enjoy their studies. So you can see their future depends on our friends here. So thank you. So that's an example of working your companionship. But I said earlier that normally our companionship doesn't base mostly on what we get from each other materially. But again, we share blessings too. When we have a challenge, we can work together on those challenges. And one of the challenges down there was a place for students to eat. And it was for a long time. It couldn't be done, and so we sat together and find the way to resolve this challenge. And dining hall and assembly hall was the project that we thought we can go together and work together to make that dream possible. So it began in 2008. It was a dream, and you can see it was just a dream that we must have a big dining hall and assembly hall. And then we began sitting together and finding the way how we can go about that. Of course, we have some setbacks. We have to sit together and go through those challenges and find our way. It's not easy when we are together. We may face some of the challenges, but we sit together and find the way to go through them and find the ways to make sure that our dream comes true. Now in August 2018, the dining hall was opened. And the students now are eating in the dining hall. Formerly, they ate under the trees, sometimes in their classes, and sometimes it was very difficult. Of course, especially during the rainy season, it was very difficult for them to get their meals. This is how things began. It's a long time ago, and you can see it, 2009. That was the site looked like when we had our dream.
And so some of you saw those clay ovens that they will do the bricks in. These are the bricks that have come out of that, and they'll have to make a foundation from that.
Yeah. That's where they're trying to make some concrete to make those stuff, the pillars to hold the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see most of the work is just done by hand. No machine down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everything you can see, we just use our hands to come to that level. But of course, it will be checked by some district engineers to make sure that the quality of the building is really is in a way that it won't bring danger in the future.
But a lot of construction work, especially in churches, the community is helping build those projects. So people on that committee, that construction committee, or on the church council are helping to make bricks, are helping to really be a part of building what is happening within the church.
Yeah. That's our friend Dawoodi that was back in 2013. That man is, he's a dumb, he can't speak, but he's a good carpenter. So we thought we can make use of him, and of course, also that we can give him a chance to live. And so he's working there and he's getting his pay from the work down there. So when you come, we see him. He can't speak, but he's a very good friend. He will always lash and come to and try to greet you. And he can understand you very, very easily. You can't understand him easily, but he does understand very easily. He's a very good friend of us, and of course, of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to you too.
Yeah.
He's a very good friend. Yeah.
And the time span on this project is not unusual. It will take many, many years to build projects. As funds come in, slowly putting investment into building and buying those, or building the resources to get the cement, to lay the foundation of those bricks, to get the rim beam that will be used in those supports. All of that just takes time, and so it's as money comes in, it will slowly build up. So you'll often see in towns and in cities of Tanzania, the first floor is built and ready, and above that, it's not yet constructed because it will continue a process.
Yeah, that's what we do. You can see we are concreting just using hands and putting those bricks down. Yeah, those are how we do. They are now in the concrete stage, so just you enhance and you see how they are doing. You can see, but the work is so good.
It's beautiful.
Only that we use very, very local ways, but the work itself is so good. You can see that's how the work when and how it looked like later. And now those are tables. Now kids can enjoy their meals in a very beautiful place. Yeah. Now it was a dream of 10 years ago, and now it's a beautiful, very beautiful dining hall. Yeah. Now you can see Lisa was there by then, and Heidi, they were there, and they could be seated eating their meals. It was just amazing. You know, remember from the time of our dream to this stage, how do you see? So good. A dream just came true. That was then. How they distributed their meals, how they ate. That was then. And that was now. What we saw. Now, that's now. You can see. Now they're very happy. Even they're happier than it was, you can see.
Mm-hmm.
They're even happier than in the beginning. Yeah. That's how it looks like. And a picture of them having some meals. Normally, as I said yesterday, it's ugali or or lies with beans. Yeah. Now, this is in our example of companionship working together in such a project. Now, we have a lot to do now. We are now dealing with this and the other part now, the assembly hall part. It's the bigger one, but we are on it now. And it will be complete within next year. Next year will be our inauguration. Now you can see the trusses are already taken up, and we just use hands too. So as I say, there's no machine. Yeah, please. Okay.
If any of you are huge construction people, I have a lot of videos of those trusses going up. Mm-hmm. They come just steel beams. There's just single steel beams. They're cut on site because Ipecara is so remote, you can't ship trusses in. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to watch, all completely done by hand. There are not cranes that are putting that up. It's amazing the wonderful work that our brothers and sisters in the Ulaga Kilimbera Diocese are doing. And I have those videos if you want to see any of them. It's pretty fascinating.
Okay. So the relationship takes time to grow. And of course, it's through sharing prayers. As I said earlier, we do communicate through emails, texts, some phone calls. Sometimes also we visit each other as we're doing now. Our friends visited us last time, that was last year, and we are here this year. Next year, delegation from here will come there to Tanzania. I hope some of you will come and visit us there. As we said, it's the Karibu Tanzania. So that's how we do our partnership to make it grow, sharing prayers, emails, texts, and phones, and visiting each other. Now, this is a typical example of a discussion between two parties trying to discuss some of the issues. That's what was late Marge Nishek. She's no more, I remember. Yeah. And that was Martin. And she was a young, she represented youth, I think, as you said, youth. Mm-hmm. In Tanzania, mm-hmm. It's like we give them a chance to show their contribution to the church. Mm-hmm. And we just try to just make them live their dream in the church so that they feel in their church, it's their church, and they can have their contribution to the church. And we just want them to live as young people in the church. We like to force them just to live as elders, but youth, they have a special contribution in our church. And of course, they are the majority down there. Even you see the attendance, the youth are the majority. If we take from 14 to 49, to 47, 46, 45, those are the majority. It's just because we have given them a chance to show their contribution and give them the freedom to worship and feel at home. That's how we get them. Mm-hmm. And without them, we could have gone any far.
That's actually one thing that Moses, Heidi, and I were talking about before this presentation, is that in partnership, each party brings different gifts and different experiences and understandings into the richness and fullness of the relationship. The church in Tanzania is the fastest growing church in the world, and also has a lot of training programs, as you've heard. There's a lot of structures for youth involvement and youth engagement, from a lot of participation in youth choirs. You can go probably to a choir tournament or performance probably every week if you wanted to, because choirs are so big there. You'll be practicing two or three times a week. So there's a lot of fullness and life in the church. And one of the things that I learned while I was in Tanzania that I had never conceived of before is that God is a joyful God. And I say that in the sense of when you experience a worship, there will be so much singing and dancing and life and radiance that comes through during the service. And I had not experienced that in my own worship life and history. And so I think that's one aspect of the way that as global partners, we can better learn from each other and grow from each other.
Yeah, maybe Eliud can talk a bit about this gathering, youth gathering. You did say in the first time.
As we said, that in our church, really, we have different organizations like youth, women, but youth are doing very well, as well as women. Every year we have the choir competition. We start in the parish level, and then here you call the cluster level, and then we come up to the diocese or synod level. And really they are doing very, very, very well. Not only singing, they even show their talents, making their own things through their hands and what. So sometimes it brings the ownership and the belongingness of the church. They know that the church is theirs. Therefore, really they are enjoying. And when I was under that age, really, we did something very, very, very good in our parish there. We were building a new church. So the youth, we gathered there in the parish and then make bricks, which really was sufficient for a whole church building. We didn't buy any brick from anywhere, so it was the work of youth there. So you may see how really the church involving youth in the church so as to show or to realize that they are among the people who are really important in the church.
We just say, you young people, this church is yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't attend, you don't participate in doing all these sorts of work for your church. Then who will do it? Because this is yours. So it's like the essential ownership, as Eliud has said. That's our philosophy, and we think through that they are feeling they belong to the church. That church is yours, is theirs. So whenever we ask them to do something for the church, they are really ready to do it. And we value their contribution, we value their ideas. They have special their special meetings. They can bring out what they think will help the church. We just take them. So that's how we take the youth and the youth group in our church down there.
Would the women become evangelists and pastors there yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Right. Already many of them are.
That's been going on a while, and that's something new.
I think it was in the 80s that the first woman was ordained in the ELCT.
But different dioceses have different understandings of women becoming. Yeah. Yeah. Not all of them.
Again, we had also some obstacles, not from ourselves, but from some of the friends from Europe too.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we made it right because we had friends from the Danes.
Yeah.
Or the Danish Lutheran Mission, we are so stubborn in that. So, but later we just to decide. I'm sorry for the Danes, but we have to decide. Say no, that's our decision. If that would endanger our partnership, that's okay.
Yeah. For example, the Lutheran Church in Madagascar does not ordain women, and that is a remnant of the Norwegian missionaries who were in Madagascar. It's also a church that doesn't allow dancing, which seems unreal in Africa, where dancing and singing is so intertwined with culture. So when we talk about the legacies of colonialism and even mission, we really have to think about their impact on our partners.
Yeah.
What percentage of the country is white in Tanzania?
White?
Yeah.
Low percent.
Yeah, it's quite difficult.
No, it's very low, I think.
It's low, but
There are expat communities in Dar es Salaam, in Arusha, in the bigger towns.
In the bigger towns there are. But actually the point I want to make is like this. We value everyone's dignity. And so there are many whites who can also be Tanzanian citizens, mm-hmm. and from all parts of the world, so long as they are led for that.
So the race relations are good?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a good relation. We respect each other, and we're able, like as I said, sisters and as brothers too, regardless of our nationality, our color, and our blood each's background. We just respect each other. And whatever is sister than bless. Yes.
Well, and I think to speak of the relationship between tribes, may be more where what's going to answer your question more is that relationship between different tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This goes back to the history of Tanzania. So Nyerere, who Moses mentioned was the first president of Tanzania, really had a vision of unifying the nation. And he unified the nation under the language of Swahili and really getting people together. So also this idea of ujamaa, of
socialism,
yes,
sort of
African familyhood, African socialism, and mixing people up. So Tanzania is very unique in its history of being a peaceful nation. So there hasn't been tribal or ethnic conflict in Tanzania, and that's many people say in a large part to Nyerere's policies and his efforts to unite the country and bring people together.
You are right. With Nyerere, we are just as we are, because Nyerere did a lot of foundations to make us look like we are now. Actually, we have more than 125 tribes, smaller tribes, having our own local languages. But again, when you see us from the outside, you won't see such a division. Mm-hmm. We're just like one family. And when you say about socialism, we had our own type of socialism built from African communism. Mm-hmm. So it's like we built this not from outside, mm-hmm. but from within. Mm-hmm. That's why it was easy for us to be together and see everyone as a brother, sister with a brother. I myself studied in government schools, and my friends were Muslims, and I couldn't see any difference, because as a Tanzanian, to me, they are my sister and my brothers. So you won't see a sort of division in terms of tribes, in terms of religion, because the way we are moulded, it's like, yes, you can have your faith, you can have your tribe, but we are Tanzanians.
Yeah. And you'll also see it in the way that the nuclear family is understood. So oftentimes, if your family has resources, and maybe your niece or nephew or even someone that you develop a close relationship is without, you will end up taking them into your family and providing for them. So I knew people who were caring for maybe 3 or 4 or 5 other family members who were staying with them and providing for them at the same time, along with their own biological children.
Yes, Ariel is just demonstrating that same thing.
Yeah.
I do same. I have several relatives with mine in my house. I have two kids of mine, but I have several others who I stay with, and I take care of them and as my own, just because their parents died. For example, I had one whom is my young sister to my wife. She was just unluckily got pregnant by somebody who was not even responsible. He couldn't even accept, and I took care of that young man. He's a very good young man, and now he's in secondary school. His name is Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like to call, I'm Emmanuel Moses, and he doesn't even like to call his father. He said, you are my father, and so that's how we live down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who was the colonial power?
It was the Germans first. Yeah. So German missionaries actually brought the Lutheran religion to Tanzania.
What about politically?
But then,
I mean, it had to be a colony at one point.
Yeah, so it was a German colony,
really?
And then after World War
II,
it became a British colony.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then Tanzania got its independence in 1961, and then in 1964, the two countries from Zanzibar and Tanzania joined.
Yeah, with Tanganyika, it was under the custody. With the British, it was just not, we were just under the custody of the British colony.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we got independent, not through fighting, but we got it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just demonstrated to them that we are ready to rule ourselves.
That was peaceful.
It was a sort of peaceful independence.
Oh.
That was for Tanganyika. For Zanzibar, they overthrew Sultan to get their independent independence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was Bob Sabo. He was there some years ago. That was back in 2010. And he was just very happy with those young men. You can see this is how we talk and share ideas. They would like to have a white man down there and so talk to him. So they were very, very happy. They just cherish this time, times like this. They really cherish it so much down there. Yeah. That's Moses. My bishop was there, and yeah, we had those friends who visited us. That was Wani and our friend late Marge Nishik. Yes, okay. That was back in 2017 when I visited. That was Heidi's grandchild. She's so beautiful. And you can see, I just like that. Yeah. So we had some meeting, trying to talk, and I was not there. Everybody was there. You can see, he's that just like there. They are trying to discuss. Hearing about the progress of the project for the dining hall, and that was last year. So, last year there was a meeting of some bishops and other friends and partners in Moshi. It was the Bishop Summit in Tanzania. They are trying to discuss the future of this partnership, on how we are going to grow as partners, how we can work together as partners. As I said, the point is how we can go about as partners. Maybe suppose we are supporting each other material, suppose material support, do cease. Are we not going to be partners? So the point is to develop a sort of partnership which would be sustainable, And I was not there.
Mm.
Heidi was there, and I don't know much about the discussion. Heidi was not there either.
Yeah, it was just two people from each diocese and two people from each synod.
Uh-huh.
Your bishop should be in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
So what you'll see here is there's 26 dioceses,
uh-huh.
as Moses and Iliad mentioned earlier, and then their companions are not just from the U.S. There are also German companions, there are Danish companions, there are Finnish companions that all have relationships with the ELCT. And so the idea behind this summit is that we're all getting in the same room to talk about what partnership means, knowing that there are different capacities within each partnership. So this was really important. I think it was one of the first ones,
this
getting
first
everyone in the same...
It's the first one.
For the ELCA and the ELCT.
Having a bishop summit.
The Langenkirchen-Barrow Diocese, which also has German partners and Danish, two different German partners, Danish partners, and Swiss partners, they've had at least three partners meetings where all of those people come together.
Yeah.
This is the first time for the ELCA and the ELCT to get together.
Okay.
And so there's a presiding bishop of the entire Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania, just like there's a presiding bishop of the entire Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and then there's other bishops of synods or dioceses underneath that. So it's a similar structure.
Yeah, it is. So, we are trying to make some snow angels. Oh, I don't know how they pick this one. That was funny. And I just like that.
Yeah.
So the relationship continues. We say we work together, beggar qua beggar means shoulder to shoulder. as you see, situation in Ida Synod, do travel to. They will travel next year, July, August. And I think that there are ways how to enroll those who will be coming down there.
If you're from Eastern Washington, Idaho Synod, check on the website after June 15th.
Yeah, so, karibu sana. They are saying goodbye, bye-bye. That's part of the students down there. Yeah, asante sana for caring for the companionship between Ulanga Kilombero and East Russian and Ida Synod.
And so I think like one thing that maybe is evident through this kind of presentation and the stories that Elliot and Moses shared is the importance of presence in partnership, the importance of showing up, of communicating, of developing a relationship. So this idea of being together and creating something that we are vulnerable, we can share, and we can also grow and share ideas, knowing that we all have different understandings of the church and different cultural contexts and lenses that play into the way that church looks. But that global partnership can be a source of renewal and restoration in our lives.
So, I want to thank you for just having your time with us and for a lot of support we get from your friends, sisters and brothers, and we wish that we continue this direction and much more. So thank you very much.
Tuition cost, say, for the one of those girls for a year?
It's $800.
$800 per year, per student.
Now, boys don't really need tuition. It's the girls who are going to make the change.
You are like boys do, but we think we want to educate more girls mostly. They've been underprivileged for a long time, so I think we need to strengthen that part.
Yeah.
That's why our emphasis now is more to girls, and this really helps a lot. And we invest to girls, we invest to the community. We have this saying that when you invest to a girl, you invest to the community. They are the ones who are really hardworking part of our society, and they really means a lot to the community.
Yes.
We don't want to maybe to neglect the part of boys, but girls are such a very important now in our community. So we want to, do you want to add something?
Something about that. We do girls scholarships, not because it comes out of the women's organization and that's what they want to do. We do girls scholarships because that's what the Ulanga Kilombero Diocese has asked us to do.
Yeah.
So it's always not, here's our thing. It's the priorities that they set. That's where we say, we can work with those things. So
For sure, if we could have 20 chances, we could just put all to girls. Because really, girls need help for sure.
Now, as far as the hospital, too, we didn't talk a lot about that yesterday. That still is a good outreach to the community. I mean, who supports the hospital?
Yeah, as I said yesterday, the hospital is in a very rural place. The funds we get from patients cannot support the hospital. So because the idea of putting a hospital in Marini was not actually an income generating project. It was a kind of social service to the community around. And so normally even the operation, if we want to conduct the operation in Rugara, it's cheaper. It's like one third. The cost is one third is compared to the other hospitals in town. But where do we get those funds? They are friends who did support us, and of course some are coming, some are going out, but so to subsidize that, lastly some friends do support us on that. And of course there are times maybe they will stop supporting, but this is how we go. So it's like the hospital is not learning itself by its income actually, but there are friends who are just making the subsidization to make it learn. Because we need to pay a doctor at the same rate of salary as any doctor in our country is being paid, and the medication to be at the same quality as anyone in any hospital. But again, those people around are very poor. They can't just afford to pay their bills in hospital. So we are fighting to have that, to raise some funds from other friends, support from other friends, so that we can subsidize their costs so that they can all survive there.
Does the Lugala Hospital receive any support from the government?
In a way, little from the government, but mostly from our friends from Germany and from here too. Mm-hmm. We have some support from friends from Nespa sometimes, and so so several friends are supporting us down there. Some from here, some from Europe, and some from other parts too. And also the hospital, itself also is trying its level best to find some other means of income so that it
like
can.
The nursing school.
The nursing school, for example. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's again. Eastern Washington, Idaho Synod.
Yeah.
The doctor at Lugala will say there's this need for this piece of equipment. Can you help us? And so we'll wire money so that they can do that, or they need assistance. You know, with the anesthesiologist needs education.
Yeah.
So those are ways that we can walk because we have people who have worked within that hospital and understand that hospital and know how so it's a continuing of that relationship always.
Yeah. You can see even those brothers when they came, at that time they went to Rugara Hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It means a lot down there too.
Yeah.
So
I think that's it for today. If there's any questions, tomorrow we will be, on Sunday, which is tomorrow, today's Friday, Sunday there's going to be one last presentation with Moses and Elliot, and that will be on the Swahili concept of hospitality, ukarimu.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're there, we'd love to see you.
Okay, thank you again for listening. Blessings.
Yeah. Thank you.